All right, we are here in the studio with Annika Dunbar-Gronke, a member of the OPPRC, Orleans Parish Prison Reform Coalition, a group that we've had in the studio before working to highlight issues around the Orleans Parish Prison. It's a coalition group of a bunch of different organizations that work together. And they recently hosted a forum to speak about the empty land that's still open in the new OPP complex. And yesterday in court, Judge Afric oversaw another hearing about the Orleans Parish Prison consent decree, specifically about mentally ill inmates, which is one of the things that have been proposed to use for the new piece of land, that they're going to build another building that would house these inmates. And so the OPPCRC hosted a meeting to discuss what the community thought the land could be used for. And thanks so much for coming on today to speak with us.
Thanks for having me, Kezia.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, yeah, can you tell me a little bit more about the event and what the idea you guys had with why you decided to do it?
Definitely. So we have been talking, OPPRC has been talking a lot about what kinds of actions we can do and how we can have more community conversations, because although there are at least 12 of us that are there that meet every week at Hope House at 4 o'clock on Mondays, if anyone is interested in attending. But there's a handful of us that are there, but we're not the entire community, and we're very clear about that. And so once we learned about this empty lot that was slated for phase three construction, and when it became something that appeared to be like a very real plan in Sheriff Gussman's mind, we started talking about other things that the community could use, and we decided that conversation needed to be opened up to the entire community. We put together this forum, and the way that we decided that it needed to be formatted in order to make sure that all community voices were heard was to have a couple like organizations, great work, present their ideas for the space, and then have two community members present. So we had a list for folks to just sign up and talk about how they felt about it, because we realized that if you can't make it to OPPRC meetings or Women with a Visions meetings or breakouts meetings, you're still a community member and you still have a say in what should happen there. So a number of folks came out. I think we had at least 100 folks out, and we got a bunch of different ideas from different people, for anything from a community space to a playground to offices for the Orleans Public Defenders or other organizations. So we got a lot of really great ideas out of that.
Just to be clear, is it already set? I mean, is there already a plan in place for this, or is it actually up for discussion as it is right now?
Well, so the plan is put together, but the zoning right now is not entirely clear. And so we actually had a representative from Jason Williams' office, Aaron Clark Rizzio, come out and explain what the city council's power, and well, not their power, but like the effect that they could have in driving that decision, because they are ultimately the folks that are most accountable to the community. And like their meetings, their criminal justice committee meetings, actually their next one is on July 23rd at 1 o'clock, for folks that are interested in coming out and like having their voices heard again. They're in discussions, they're really trying to make OPP a safe place, and they're supportive of the community in getting it there. They just need us to come out and be vocal. And so this was a step towards being vocal in that effort.
So what is the reason why you guys would oppose the plan that's already in place for use of that space?
Well, so, I mean, OPPRC has been talking about about keeping the jail population small for a long time. Our Evacuate OPP Now campaign has been in full force for a long time, and we've been talking about how a 1438 cap is appropriate for the size of our city and the crime rate as well. And building more beds there would increase that number far beyond 1438, which for a jail that has been recognized locally and nationally as dangerous to be in. So, and I mean, it doesn't even matter whether you're in there awaiting trial or arraignment for a traffic violation or a domestic violence charge. You don't deserve to be put in a place before you've been convicted at all in a place where your life is being threatened. And that in the past year, it's been entirely evident that being an OPP can threaten your life.
Right. And I guess some people would argue that this building was supposed to be for mentally ill inmates. Is that correct? And that would be some kind of improvement. So I'm just curious, like, what you guys' stance on that would be. I mean, does it feel like a backhanded way of just increasing the number of beds, or how do you see it?
Well, it does. And I mean, this came up during the forum as well. Mentally ill inmates don't deserve to be incarcerated. They deserve services in a mental hospital. So if we're going to put a bunch of money into a new building, it should be put into a facility that actually supports people who are mentally ill, and hopefully before they've, you know, committed an infraction or they've been arrested for something. Because often people who are mentally ill or arrested during an episode or something, I mean, if we're talking about like very severe mental illness, so treatment is the answer, not incarceration.
Great, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I heard you have some voices from that event.
We do. I thought that it would probably be best, given that it was a community forum with community voices, I would play those community voices rather than just talk about it myself. So, first up, we have a couple of representatives from Youth Breakout New Orleans. They'll explain what they do, and they have a really, I wish that I could show a visual on the radio, but they had a really great member-created map of what they thought a community center would look like, and it included like a meeting room and places to relax and support spaces for different organizations. It was really great. So I'll just play that, and hopefully you'll get an idea of what they were looking for.
Incarceration can be a recurring force. We know this often can saw beforehand. Don't expect what that drawing actually could see. So we were kind of drawing something that we thought would be kind of useful for the community, right? A huge issue, like Samaya was saying, is reentry. So we kind of have this, like, we don't know if it's three stories or if it's, like, shapewear. We don't know what's going on, but we'll figure that out together, right? At the bottom, we thought it was important to have life assistance in reentry. So this is for, like, the exiting population who have been incarcerated, right? We know there's often a lack of access to housing. There's often a lack of access to just being able to get good food. And so just to have people, like, start off with meeting with someone on a bi-digital basis or whatever basis that is, and talk about those things, whether it's housing, whether it's food, whether it's job placement, kind of have a space directly for reentry. And what does that look like for society, right? So on our first floor, we have all business. Second floor, we start with a little bit of pleasure. All the way to the left, we have the cafe, which we hope would be like a teaching cafe, right? Because we don't want to just send people out there. We want to teach people, to continue to teach people how to cook good meals for themselves, how to continue to teach people how to use food as a community builder, all those things. A little bit of food justice thrown up in there. And then so the housing situation, we haven't figured it out, but we can talk about it.
The housing situation, we come up with like this idea to we have two rooms. We have room one and room two, which is kind of, we don't know if we're going to do it gender-based. Most likely we're just going to be like, you know, gender-based. It's like room one for the guys, room two for the girls. And
we need termination.
Our self-determination. Our self-determination. And in each room, we were like thinking about like six to eight people to house them and, you know, like have a deadline for what time you can come, like have certain requirements for you to, you know, be able to stay here. We have the community space, which serves on, which is like a little place for everyone to come to.
Yeah. So community, like you said, community space means that everyone's coming there. And so we don't have people just living. We have people also eating together. We have people building, like, celebrating birthdays together. We have people inviting family. So a huge part of reentry is also, like, about how do we bring people back into society and, like, change the, like, the dynamics. We change the dynamics on, like, how do we see people who have recently been incarcerated and kind of build that, like, humanity up if that is, like, a thing that's important to do.
Going upstairs, LGBT youth or just youth in general. Some people who are coming, like who are coming out of the incarceration, like a place for them to go, like to get, like once again, self-determination and, you know, someone for them to
get themselves
and help themselves build up after they just come in, you know.
Right, get your mind. You gotta get your mind.
And then so the last few things that, while we have 30 seconds, is all the way to the left, you see that's a space for focus grouping and like community building. And that's like more strategic things, right? That's how do we have these conversations around what does it mean to be safe outside the system? What does it mean for people to be able to do like their recreational drugs if that's healing for them? What does that mean to be safe and to do those things? And also just area for people just to gather and talk about things that may be, you know, haunting them, maybe going through, just anything, an open space for focus groups and to kind of figure out a strategic way to keep moving our society and our community forward, right? I'm sorry, man. We only have 30 seconds. Sorry. So then the last part is programming. As you can tell, programming. So that's to invite people to do some development. If people want to learn more about like knitting, if people want to learn more about like restorative justice, if people want to learn more about like what does it mean to be like living in an imperialist society, like all those things can be learned in the programming area. We also talked about bringing like, so if we have this youth space, right? And we talked about reentry. What does it look like to have youth who are just leaving like incarceration and meeting with LGBT youth or any youth who are just going into schools and just trying to like, you know, build their future? So always bringing those two communities together to kind of keep humanity at the center of it and all that, right? And the last spot is my favorite spot because it's the healing justice area. So that's yoga, that's just talk and get out, that's just watching movies, anything that like brings about healthiness, that brings about wellness overall. So.
So that was some audio from the hearing that OPPRC hosted. Was it last week?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday.
About what could potentially be done with the open space that is still on the OPP site. You have another?
I do. I'm just going to line it up right now. The other clip that I wanted to play was from... was Desiree Evans from Women with a Vision, and she was talking about it was great to have her come out because so often when we're talking about the jail or incarceration in general, we're always talking about men, primarily men of color. But when she came out, she was talking about the criminalization of women of color, because that's the population that Women with a Vision supports in this community. And so I wanted to play hers to just make sure that we're thinking about all of the people that are affected by any kind of growth at OPP.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Hello. Well, I've really enjoyed hearing the stories so far of people's visions. So I'm Desiree Evans, and I work with Women with a Vision. We are an organization that's about a quarter century old. We've been doing work with community, improving the lives of marginalized women and their families, using community outreach, education, and policy advocacy during those last two decades. So at Women with a Vision, we have a lot of visions, right? We think a lot about what we want in this city and what we want the folks that we work with to be able to have to live their lives to their fullest that they can with them. I think one of the core principles we think about is how do women, marginalized women, low-income women, Black women, women of color, queer women in this city have a voice, right? Have a right to the table, right to have their needs taken care of as well as anybody else's. You know, oftentimes the folks that we work with are either two things, invisibilized, we're like pushed out of the conversations, mm-hmm. We're forgotten, or we're hyper-visibilized, we become stereotypes mm-hmm. that need fixing, right? Yep. And so we want to talk about how we're actually more than both of these things, we're more than nothing, or an image that needs to be fixed or pushed out of the city, or blamed for all the city's problems, right? So, I don't know if you guys know this, but a lot of reports recently have shown that Louisiana is the worst state for women overall. There's been reports coming out, to Google it. And even worse than that, the worst of the worst of the worst, are low-income women, women of color, and Black women. We face basically some of the harshest health indicators and outcomes in the nation. So we also know that Louisiana incarcerates more people than anyone else in the world, right?
Yep.
Well, we incarcerate more women. So we are like the third largest incarcerator of women, and we continue to incarcerate more women than anyone else in the country. And so we are facing these kind of two thinking of like the disparities that are happening in the city when it comes to women, but we don't really talk about women. And so I think that one of the things we're envisioning is a women's center, a one-stop shop, a shelter, one place for social services, a community space that really talks about addressing the needs of low-income and marginalized women in the city. You know, I don't have a diagram, but I love y'all's diagram. I think of that idea. But you know, we're thinking about places that talk about childcare, that talk about social services, that talk about adequate housing. So I think we don't talk enough about this city. You know, we're thinking a lot about what's happening in terms of gentrification, redevelopment, revitalizing of neighborhoods that are going on, but like rent has more than doubled. Quadrupled in some instances. I think the average rent for Katrina is around $688. We're talking about thousands now. But wages have not increased, particularly for women. Black women in this city make 48 cents on the dollar for white women. But we're not talking about that. So let's talk about education. Let's talk about housing. Let's talk about living wage jobs and what that can look like. Let's talk about employment, education, substance abuse, counseling, mental health, reentry programs for the women who are coming out of prison that we don't really talk about, that often gets invisibilized, you know, when we talk about the criminal justice issues in the city. We have these women coming out with no services directed at them. So, and reproductive health. You know, there's been a lot of talk recently with all the, both the congressional, the stuff that's happening on a national level, but also locally about reproductive health in women. We're not really talking about what that looks like, particularly for Black women in this state, who face, again, the worst health indicators. When it comes to HIV/AIDS, 80% of the new cases for HIV/AIDS in the state are Black women. And that's huge. We're not talking about that, right? In terms of HPV, cervical cancer, diabetes, heart disease, Black women face the largest indicators, health indicators in the state. So we really need to talk about that and have places where women can come to and really address these issues. So thank you.
All right.
And that was Desiree Evans speaking as a member of Women with a Vision about what they see the space available in the OPP complex could be used for. So both of those are some community visions of what could be done instead of building a new building that would house mentally ill inmates. And yesterday there was a hearing in federal court to determine what should be done with the mentally ill inmates as it is right now, since they are in a dire situation, as we discussed earlier. And the proposal that the sheriff has given is that they should be sent to a institution in St. Gabriel called Elaine Hunt. So did you guys have any thoughts about that or anything else you wanted to say about the meeting?
I just wanted to make sure that we talk about like how many people came out and how interested the community is in having a space that is not more jail beds. We had Women's Health and Justice Initiative. We had the Orleans Public Defenders come and talk about maybe a new office where they wouldn't have to pay rent and they could use like those funds to support providing just and equal like just services for people who are in the process of being charged. The Community Education Project came out and talked about, you know, young people, the criminalization of young people, and Hope House also came out, and the Voice of the Ex-Offender, Safe Streets. So it's just all different kinds of people came out and have ideas that are not more jail beds. And so, and like the next steps for us as OPPRC and anyone else who wants to come and be a part of putting together this information is to gather all of these ideas into some notes that can be shared with everyone who is present at the meeting and anyone else who, you know, who asks for it, so they can use it in their advocacy efforts against a larger jail. And then also to, again, bring the community together again sometime in the next couple months, as soon as we can, to choose next steps in terms of like advocacy and making sure that more people are present in the conversation. Because right now it's the sheriff, the city council, and, you know, certain organizations when they show up, and that's not the community as a whole. We need to find a way to support communities showing up in that way. And so, to speak to that, I need to shout out to the organizations that came to support the meeting that we had. So the Child Care Collective came out to take care of kids so that parents could be present. And Carpool New Orleans, a new organization that supports community meetings and locally run social justice groups to get their members from, you know, their homes to where the meetings are happening, was also there to support. So those kinds of organizations are great to have around, and it would be great if one day we don't need them because we have the community spaces that we need to begin with. I just want to say that if anybody out there is interested in coming to OPPRC meetings and getting involved in this way, we meet every Monday at from 4 o'clock to about 6 o'clock at Hope House on St. Anthony down near the St. Thomas, and all are welcome.
Great. And you also mentioned there's an upcoming Criminal Justice Committee meeting Wednesday, July 23rd.
Yeah.
It's tentatively scheduled, they say, for 1 o'clock.
Yeah, tentatively scheduled for 1 o'clock. Definitely check out the City Council's schedule closer to the date, because they have a tendency to move things around pretty frequently. But right. We'll definitely be there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, especially with these issues that are actually still open, right, where the community really does have an opportunity to have their voices be heard and affect the decisions that are being made. And also another thing that's come up quite a few times on this show is how, you know, it was really considered a win back in 2011 when the ordinance was put in place to cap the jail beds at 1438, and this feels like another way to get around that win. So just in the spirit of winning the ones we won, it can be nice for communities to come out.
Well, yeah, and it's kind of a golden moment, right? Like the decisions haven't been made. It's a lot easier, I mean, from an advocacy perspective, to fight the bill when it's coming up. I mean, this is like I'm thinking on a state level, but it's easier to fight the bill than try to have it repealed after it's been signed into law. And that's, and so this is our moment. So I'm really encouraging people to come out.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you there. So I guess I just wanted to get a little bit more information of those support organizations you were talking about, especially this one, Carpool Neurons. It's not one I think we've heard of on the radio yet. So what's going on with that?
So it's a new group a new collective that's really come together. And what we do is we put together a calendar every month to support some organizations that we have worked with and that different organizers have worked with in the past. So currently we support meetings for FLIC, the Families and Friends of Louisiana's Incarcerated Children, Stand with Dignity, in their weekly meetings, which is a organization of low-income housing residents, organizing for low-income housing residents, and as well as a workers' rights organization, Congreso, which is also a union of day laborers that meets every Wednesday, and Breakout, who you heard from earlier in the show. So we organize drivers who have cars, who don't have cars. We put them together with cars so they can pick people up and also just like have conversations with community members. It's about facilitating conversations about, and it's about supporting people while doing that. Because, I mean, often in doing volunteer work, we can figure out if you're a transplant or if you are someone of means or, you know, general privilege, it's easy to kind of bypass interacting with low-income people and, just bypass the people that you're actually trying to support. And you can't, that's not, like, a healthy way to support people if you don't get to know them. And so, like, we encourage people to be, to acknowledge their privilege when they're doing this, and we're all about people going on, leaving the collective if they find an organization that they really enjoy driving for and are able to do so on a regular basis. But we're just trying to facilitate that constant support for those organizations so they can not be worried about whether or not their members can show up because the bus is late or because, you know, they couldn't get a ride from, or their car broke down or whatever. So we're just trying to take that off the plate of the organizers so they can focus on the real issues, like coming, you know, showing up to a criminal justice committee meeting or something like that.
Really cool. So if people are interested in getting involved with that, what should they do?
We have a Facebook page, Carpool New Orleans, very simple. And you can always hit us up via email at carpoolneworleans@gmail.com. And our website is, and I realize that this is weird, but it's carpoolneworleans.fieldsofgarlic.com. A friend has a server that we can use, and it's called Fields of Garlic. So that's carpoolneworleans.fieldsofgarlic.com.
Cool, very cool. So anything else that we miss? Anything people need to know?
No, I think that that's it. Again, our next steps are to put together this information and share it. So if anyone's interested in getting a full transcript of the forum or getting involved in OPPRC, just hit us up. You can find us at OPP. You can send us an email at oppreform@gmail.com or just type OPPRC into Google and you'll find us. So
very cool. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And we'll have all of that information that she just mentioned up on our website at wtulnews.tumblr.com in just a little bit. So check us out there as well as the Facebook.